Glad that you're here. I'm glad that I'm here. I'll tell you a little bit more about that later, but we're going to spend some time today, this last week of Lent season. That's where we've been. It's a time to focus on Jesus, and so we've been doing this for a while. Today, we will focus again on Jesus Christ, hopefully that we would see him more clearly as it prepares you for another week of worshiping him and serving him. So if you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn with me today to Matthew chapter 26, Matthew chapter 26, page 831, if you want to use that Bible sitting in front of you. We've been going through this account of Matthew. He was one of Jesus' disciples. We've been going through this account and considering prayer, how Jesus talked about prayer and how he prayed. And so we'll continue to look at that today. So today's going to be a good day, but let's just go ahead for a moment to next Sunday. Next Sunday is going to be a fantastic day. We call it Easter, but we also call it Resurrection Sunday because that's a big day for us. Knowing that our Savior, the one that we pray to and sing about, the one whose name we claim, he is alive. They killed him, but he didn't stay dead. And so next week specifically, we're going to talk about that miracle and what that means for us. So next Sunday, plan to be here if you're in town. Now, if you look in your worship program, there's a little invite in there with a colorful picture on that. Take that. Do not just slip that in your Bible and forget about that. This week, use that. Do not waste that paper by just leaving it in your Bible. Invite a friend. Tell them to come to church with you. Don't just give them the address and tell them that to show up, but you join them. We're going to have some fun times in the gym. We'll have some food and things like that. So that's going to happen next Sunday. That's going to be a great day for us. But before next Sunday is Friday. And I want you to join us Friday night. Be a little different. Won't be as exciting as Sunday. We're going to turn the lights off, have some candles, take communion, because we remember that on Friday, Jesus was crucified. And so we're going to remember that. It helps make Sunday so much greater. So Friday night, if you're in town, 7 o'clock, plan to be here. We're going to meet in this room Friday night. But before Friday night is today. Today traditionally is known as Palm Sunday. Jesus was coming into the city of Jerusalem and they were shouting. They were like, man, you're going to save us from Rome. This is so good. We're looking to you. You're the one that's going to save us from bad government. You're going to bring relief. Well, they didn't know what he was saving from because 5 days later they're shouting, crucify him. And so today on this Palm Sunday, I don't necessarily want to tell you that story, but write this down if you would. Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21. Go ahead and read that this afternoon. That's this Sunday before the cross. But we won't be there today. We've looked at that story in the past. I'll let you read that. I want to look at Matthew chapter 26 today. What I'm hoping today is that you and I, as we focus on Jesus, we would gain a greater appreciation for him. I'm hoping, and my prayer has been, that you'd leave here today saying, I love Jesus this much, whatever this much is, but oh, I appreciate him and love him this much more because of what I read today. As I considered this story, this is what God wants to do. He wants you to, oh, consider my son, appreciate my son. He's so good. He's done so much for you. That's part of my hope today, that you'd have a greater appreciation for Jesus, but also that you'd have a greater hope in Jesus. That as you leave here, you'd say, oh, my hope is built on nothing less than this Jesus. And so we're going to look at that today. I've entitled this message, Pressing Times. Pressing Times. Let's consider this for a moment today. Pressing Times. As I thought about that, I thought, we just don't like pressing times. We do not like pressure. I hear of athletes saying they like pressure, but I'm thinking, no, they'd rather have a blowout game and not have to deal with the pressure. You and I, we just don't want pressure. And yet, God allows that. And I want us to consider today that with intense pressure, there's an opportunity to run away from God. Or with intense pressure, there's an opportunity to run to pray to God. And we have this choice. all the time whenever we face pressure. Will we run away from God, or will we run to pray to God? And we've been talking about prayer for the last 6 or 7 weeks around here, and just saying, as we've read through the Gospel of Matthew here, Jesus said, let me show you how to pray. I want you to know the different aspects of prayer, that you have great access to God. This is amazing, that God Almighty, this eternal God, you get to call him Dad. You get to call him Father. Jesus said, I'm just going to secure this relationship, but God gets, you get to call him Dad and Father. You have access. It's a privilege to get to talk to him. Now, you and I, when we talk to our Heavenly Father, we often want relief. God, fix my problem. Make this easier. Jesus also said, well, you know, sometimes you'll get relief. But what he really wants to do is develop you. He wants to grow your faith. He wants to grow your trust. And so we looked at different aspects. Jesus said, don't live a life in fear. Don't be anxious. But instead, pray, come to your Father, seek first his kingdom. We saw that people were coming to Jesus saying, have mercy. And Jesus was like, oh, I love your faith. Just simply saying, be merciful to me. And he's like, oh, I love your faith. I love your faith. That's a good thing. We saw also that Jesus had to pray. He had to spend time with the Father. He went through very discouraging times. He went through victorious times, and he had to get away, and he just had to unpack his own heart and say, I'm feeling these things. I'm feeling hurt, and I'm feeling lonely, and I'm feeling sad. And he had to unpack these things in prayer. He had to then repack his mind and his heart for mission. Last week, we looked at the idea that part of prayer is to give thanks. We just looked at all these different aspects, but we are to give thanks. This is simply how to pray. Just tell God what you're thankful for. Well, today I want to look at one other aspect of prayer, and we will focus on trusting God in pressing times. Would you write this down, please? Trusting God in pressing times. This is another aspect of prayer, just that we would trust God in very pressing times. Let me ask you a question. Go ahead and write some answers and thoughts down to this. But what kind of pressure are you facing today? What kind of pressure are you facing today, even as you're here? Consider that for a moment, if you would, because if you do that, this message will make more sense to you. What's the pressure you're facing? Is it pressure from work? Is it the pressure of a deadline? Is it the people that you work with? Is it the lack of work? What's the pressure you're facing? Is it a family relationship? Is it another relationship? That causes pressure. What kind of pressure are you facing? What about failing health with you or a loved one? That causes pressure. What kind of pressure are you facing today? Maybe it's your own hurts, your habits, your hang-ups. That causes pressure in your life. It causes pressure on your loved ones as well. Even vacations, those can cause pressure. Some of you are thinking, man, spring break, I'm going. I'll tell you what, even in those times of vacation, you can face pressing times. I want you to consider today, will you focus on trusting God in your pressing times? Will you focus on trusting God in your pressing times? Now, this last week, Angela and I got to get away. It was our 26th wedding anniversary last Tuesday or something like that. And we said, you know what? We're going to go and celebrate that. Because our son works for Delta Airlines, we get this benefit where we can fly free anywhere in the country. The only problem is we have to fly standby. So that means you don't have a spot on the plane, but if there's an empty spot and you're there, they can say, sure, go ahead and get on this plane. So we said, you know what? We haven't flown anywhere together without kids for 20 years. Let's go. And our son encouraged Jesse. He says, oh, go to New York City. There's so much fun to do there. And Angela wanted to watch a Broadway play. And baseball season hadn't started, so I didn't get to see a baseball game there or anything. But we went to New York City. And we got away for a few days. And it was fantastic times. And as we're taking this vacation, it's like, this is supposed to be a time where it's going to be relaxed, it's going to be fun-filled, and it was at times peaceful, and yet there was a little bit of pressure. there were some pressing times while we were there. Because though we're having fun, Wednesday we woke up to a little bit of snow. We're like, this is the winter we wanted here in the valley. We're getting snow. This is great. And we looked on our phones and it said, it's going to snow all day. It's going to snow for 24 hours. They called this a nor'easter storm. We're like, well, this sounds great. But as we were walking down to Times Square, we see this sign and it says more than 3,800 flights canceled. And we're remembering that we don't have a flight or we don't have a ticket home. We only have a spot if there are spots empty. But there are 3,800 flights on the East Coast now canceled. And this fun-filled, peaceful vacation just became pressing times. Now, I know you don't feel sorry for me because I'm in New York City while I'm having these pressing times, but I'm like, I'm not going to make it home. And so we're like, well, let's just try to enjoy this day. Let's go down and have some pizza on the street. But we couldn't help get out of our hearts, how are we going to get home? And not only that, we want to see our little baby daughter. She's going on the Mexico trip. We want to be able to say goodbye to her. We told her we'd say goodbye to her. We're not going to make it home. And then I thought, oh, man, maybe I'm not even going to be able to preach. And then the thought of, oh, no, is Pamela going to have to preach for me? She offered. I said, no, you know, I'll walk if I have to get home, but that's not going to happen. And we started thinking, where are we going to stay? Because our hotel, we only got a hotel through Wednesday night. Where are we going to stay Thursday night? Man, we're going to have to stay in the airport. Are we going to have to spend money that we don't have? And just started feeling pressure. Vacation became pressure. But you and I, we live in pressure constantly. Well, you've noticed, I made it back. I'm here. We did get back. We actually made it back just in time, 3 hours before Ashley took off early Friday morning. And we got to say, honey, good to see you. Get out of here. We're going back to bed because we're worn out. But as I'm in New York City, I'm thinking, okay, Lord, you wanted me to preach a message, and you had planned this for weeks. I knew that on March, what is today, the 25th, that you want me to preach about Jesus experiencing pressure. And while I'm in New York, I'm like, ha, 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 funny, Lord. All right, this was supposed to be a peaceful vacation, but now I'm facing pressure. Fortunately, you've been teaching me some things, Lord, and so I'm just going to share with you what the Lord had been teaching me, because that trip wasn't without pressure, and fortunately, God had been preparing me with some thoughts. And the question is, will we trust God in pressing times? Because the reality is, you and I live between a rock and a hard place every single day. Can I get an amen? Amen. Amen. Some of you are like, man, I'm feeling that pressure. On multiple sides, on every side, I'm feeling this pressure. Go ahead and say this morning. If you're feeling pressure, just say, I'm feeling pressure. All right, I heard about 10 of you. I know that more than that. If you're feeling it, go ahead and say it like you mean it. I'm feeling pressure. Okay, I'm sorry that you're feeling that much pressure. All right, Matthew 26. Let's look here and read. Let me just tell you where we're at in this story. The story has taken place Thursday night. The very next morning, Jesus is going to be crucified at 9 a.m. So imagine that, if you would. That's some pressure. How does Jesus respond with the pressure he's facing, knowing that tomorrow is crucifixion? And as we read this, again, I'm hoping that you gain a greater appreciation for Jesus, that you say, yeah, he's my hero, he's my savior, this is the one I'm called to live my life for. And I'm not only hoping that you'd have greater appreciation for him, but that you'd have greater hope in him as we read this. Thursday night, Matthew 26, verse 36. Go there, verse 36. Yeah, you actually have to turn the page there to see that. Okay, verse 36. Then Jesus went with them, the 11 disciples. Judas has already taken off to go sell him out. Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, you guys sit here while I go over there and pray. And then taking with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, John and James, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. So here we are. He's just spent some time with the 12 disciples. Judas has left. He grabs the 11. You guys stay here. I'm going to go pray. Takes the three closest disciples, gathers them over here, and he says, I'm going to go pray. And he began to be sorrowful and troubled. And I'd like you to just consider the pressing times that Jesus is experiencing on a Thursday night before he's crucified. You see, this is more than a nice moment to be memorialized with a piece of stained glass. When you came in this morning, maybe you saw this in our front area, our coffee bar. This is a nice, wonderful piece of stained glass, over 100 years old, that we have. I look at it almost every day of the week, and I sit there and say, it's just so beautiful. But I found myself even looking at it in the last couple of weeks saying, wait a second, this is more than just beautiful artwork. This is pressing times. This is a picture of Thursday night where he is praying knowing that tomorrow's crucifixion. Now consider your pressing time and before that big moment, whatever that moment is. Maybe it's going to the airport. Will we have a ticket? Or you're going to work. Will I have a job? Or you go home and will my spouse be there? Or you go to the hospital and what will the diagnosis be? Thursday night for Jesus. The cross was near. Brutal torture was near. His death was near. Paying for the sins of the world, taking on the wrath of God for the sins of everyone, that was near. This is pressing times. And at this moment of amazing pressure, Jesus went to a place called Gethsemane. It's about a half a mile outside the city gates of Jerusalem. It's in an area called the Mount of Olives. Some of you have visited there. There are all of these groves of olive trees, but there's this one special spot where Jesus goes. It's one of his favorite places. When he would go to Jerusalem, and he'd travel there every year, but when he'd go there at different times, he'd like to go for a getaway. This was his getaway, up in this secluded place, away from all the commotion from the city, a time where he could go and pray. But specifically, this is a very pressing time for him, the day before Friday. Not only that, Jesus went there to Jerusalem this time of year because all the Jewish people, all the Israelites would go to Jerusalem this time of year for a feast called the Passover. This is pretty interesting. Let me give you a quick history lesson because the Israelites would gather in Jerusalem and they would remember that 1,500 years ago, God rescued his people from Egypt. So they would come together in Jerusalem every year and they would remember that God had promised that he would rescue them. They remembered that God did miraculously rescue them. And every year they would gather together, they would eat a meal together, they would drink drinks together, and they would remember that God had promised rescue and that he miraculously did rescue. One of the things they'd do as they'd gather around for their feast is that they would drink from four cups. The idea was there was a passage in Exodus chapter 6. Let me show you this on the screen here. In Exodus chapter 6, write this passage down. It says, the Lord told Moses, he said, I will bring you out from under the burden of the Egyptians. That's a promise. I will deliver you from slavery to them, though you've been slaves for years. I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great acts of judgment. I will take you to be my people, and I will be your God, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God who has brought you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And each year they would get together, and they would drink from these cups and say, God has promised, I will bring you out. And he did. Every year they'd do this. God is a faithful God. He promised it, and he did it. Not only that, they would recount this story from Exodus chapter 12. Would you write this down and do yourself a favor this week? Read this. Read this with your family. Exodus chapter 12, it is the Passover, where God would pass over a group of people who trusted him, who did some crazy things believing that God would provide. Exodus chapter 12, read this week. And as they're eating this meal together, for Jesus, this was not just history looking back 1,500 years and going, you know what? Yeah, God has been good to us. This particular meal on a Thursday was different than the previous years. Jesus remembered the Passover when he was a little boy, and as he grew up, every year they would take this. But this time was different. This Thursday night here in Matthew chapter 26, it was different because that night, the traditional story was personal for Jesus. It was a personal story. It wasn't just that God rescued us one day way back then, but Jesus knew that the sacrificial lamb that we remembered was himself. Jesus that night remembered and knew that I'm the Lamb of God that will take away the sins of the world. Pressing times. Tomorrow, I'm going to be the sacrificial lamb. I'm going to pay for the sins of the world. Just looking at this, saying, man, unimaginable pressure for Jesus to know that your death is tomorrow. Your torturous death is tomorrow. You taking on the sins and the punishment of the world tomorrow is coming. Unimaginable pressure. This is the definition of pressing times. And the question is Jesus going to run away or is he going to run to pray? Where's he going? Where's Jesus going? And as I look at this, and it says that he went to a place called Gethsemane. Go ahead and write this down. Gethsemane literally means oil press. Oil press. It was the place where they would take the olives from the olive groves. They would take them there and they would press the oils or the olives. They would crush the olives. In essence, they would destroy the olives so that life-giving oil would come out. Jesus is there. He's there literally. He's there figuratively in a place where his life is going to face much pressure to the point that he is crushed, to the point that he's destroyed and killed, so that life, his life-giving oil would pour out to all. Pretty fascinating, isn't it? That's where he's at, pressing times. And I look at that and say, if I'm facing that, and I have the option of running away or running to pray, I might just run away. You're thankful that I'm not your Savior. Jesus is, because he did not run away. He ran to pray. And I say, hallelujah, you're my hero, Jesus. You're the Savior. What a hero. He ran to the oil press. Follow along, verse 38. Let me read some more. So he said to the three, my soul is very sorrowful, even to death. You remain here and watch with me. And going a little farther, he fell on his face and he prayed, saying, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Verse 40, he came to the disciples and he found them sleeping. Now, it's late Thursday night, so let's not rag on these guys too much. They're lonely. They don't have their phones to keep them occupied. They fell asleep. And he said to Peter, so could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. Maybe it's the temptation to sleep, but maybe it's the temptation that's coming in the next 24 hours that you're going to face temptation to run away from me. Jesus says this, underline it in your Bibles, the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. I know that you want to do right, you want to stay with me. The spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak. Verse 42, again, for a second time, he went and prayed. My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done. Now, Jesus did not just go and pray one quick sentence prayer. Sometimes I'm good at that. I have a need. I give God a 1 second. Here's my quick communication. But he prayed long enough that he goes back, verse 43, and again he came and he found them sleeping. They'd fallen asleep again. He's spending time with the Father. Verse 44, so leaving them again, he went away and prayed for a third time, saying the same words. If it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but your will be done. And I'm looking at this. What does Jesus do in his most pressing times? What's he do during his most pressing times? Because he's feeling all of these emotions. He's feeling some fear, I gotta believe. Death does not look good tomorrow morning. Crucifixion does not look good. Beating does not look good tomorrow. They're gonna whip your back so many times that you will nearly die from that pain. That doesn't look good for tomorrow. Taking on the sins of the world, I can't imagine that one. Doesn't look good. Yeah, there's got to be some fear. Sadness? These guys are going to run. Shepherd's going to be struck. The sheep are going to scatter. They're not even going to be with me at the crucifixion. They're going to be running off and scurried. I'm just sad. They're going to be sad. They're going to be heart torn. He's sad. What else? Is he lonely? Yeah, I think he's lonely. My guys are falling asleep. They don't even know what I'm going through. They don't get it. Peter just said, nah, I'll follow you to death. They don't get it. I'm alone. Nobody understands me. You ever feel that way? And this pressing time, these pressure-filled emotions and feelings, they lead Jesus to pray. They lead him to his only true life source. He goes, I know I've got to go to the Father. That's where I got to go. I've got to go spend time with the Father. So I'm looking at this, I'm thinking, okay, what can we learn from this? What does this do for us? Certainly it gives me an appreciation for Jesus to go to the cross. It strengthens my hope in him, but is there something in here that I can get? I want you to write this down if you would, because I know that Jesus is understanding this in greater ways, that God the Father is trustworthy. Write this down. You and I have to know this in greater ways all the time, that God the Father is trustworthy. He's trustworthy of your life. In your pressing times, he's trustworthy. You don't need to run from him. You just need to run to him. He's trustworthy even in your sin. You're like, man, I've sinned. I should run. Don't run away from him. Run to him. It's the only place for complete forgiveness. It's the only place for complete love. Don't run away from him. Run to him. He is trustworthy. I started writing down some things. What does Jesus know that we need to know about God being trustworthy? One, write this down, is that he will provide. Jesus spends time with the Father because he knows that he's trustworthy and that he will provide. He knows that God the Father is going to provide for me. He will not abandon me. The pressure may be killing you, because I think it nearly was for Jesus. It may nearly be killing you, but God will provide and he will not abandon you. Apostle Paul says this, I know that my God will supply all your needs according to the glorious riches in Christ Jesus. I know this. He's trustworthy. I know that he will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He will provide. And the question is, will you trust him? Will you trust him? Here's another thought. Not only will he provide, but he will develop me. He will develop you. He will mature us in the process. This is what he's doing with Jesus even. He's growing his faith. The problem is you can't do this on your own. Whatever this is, the pressure that you're facing, you can't do it on your own. I found myself saying this in New York. I'm like, what if I had enough money? There's still going to be more pressures. I can't do this on my own. God, what I believe you're doing is somehow you're going to provide, but you're also developing my faith. You're developing my trust in you. In fact, we were running from one plane in Seattle trying to catch another one so we could get to Eugene late Thursday night. It might have been Friday morning. And my son sends me a text because he's working there, and he says, you got to run, Dad. And as I'm running, I said, God will provide. And here's what I knew, that even if he didn't provide with that plane, he was developing my faith. That's what I was saying, that God will provide. That was God developing my faith. It wasn't how much money do I have so that I can get the next flight. It was just, I'm trusting in God. That's God developing me. In these pressing times, he is desiring to grow you, to develop you, to mature you. He will develop you because your spirit is willing, your flesh is weak. But he's growing you. He's growing you. He's growing you to understand that you can't do this on your own, but you can with God's strength. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It was never, I can do all things when I got my stuff together here. No, I can do all things through him. That's the only way I can do it, who strengthens me. If you're trying to do it any way, other way, you can't do this. And as we depend on God, as we trust in him, he develops us. He matures us. Will you trust him? I noticed this too, and I know that Jesus knew this as he's praying, that God will work for good. Write this down if you would. He will work for good. Now, it might not turn out as you want. Let's just acknowledge that. But it will work out for good. Jesus is saying, is there another way to pay for the sins of the world? Is there another way? I'm just calling out because I'm lonely, I'm sad, I'm fearful, I got all these emotions. Is there another way? I'll trust you. We won't do it my way. It didn't turn out for Jesus necessarily the way he wanted. And the pressured situations we go through will not necessarily turn out the way we want. When I say that God will provide, it doesn't mean he'll provide everything you want, but it will be good. It will be good. The pressing time is not the end. The cross is not the end. We'd be the craziest people if the cross was the end of the story. Oh, man, we worship a guy who lived for 33 years, and then he let them kill him, and, well, he's dead now. It'd be a terrible story. But the pressing time is not the end. The pressing situation you're going through is not the end. God will work for good. He's using this time for good. For you. For others. Will you trust him? And then I thought one more thought. Jesus, even being more mature in his faith than us, he knew that God the Father will glorify himself. This is what he knows that God will do. God will glorify himself. God is going to get all the praise in this story. God is going to get all the credit in this story. Jesus knows this, and he says, I can endure this pressing situation because God the Father is going to get all the credit. You can endure this situation if you trust that God's going to glorify himself through your situation. The people will look at you and say, how'd you handle that? I couldn't. But God strengthened me. How'd you handle that? I didn't. God was working all things together for good in my life, and he's the one that gets the glory. He's the one that gets the praise. So do you know deep down? Do you know deep down that God the Father's trustworthy? Maybe you got a little bit of faith on that, and you say, I think he's a little bit trustworthy. And the longer you walk with him, the more pressure times you have in your life, you start understanding, yep, I can trust him. I can trust him more. I can trust him more. Do you know that in these pressing times that he'll provide? Do you know that in these pressing times he will develop you? He will. Do you know that in these pressing times he will work all things for good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose? Do you know that? Do you know that he will glorify himself in your life, in your story, in your brokenness, in your crushing and pressing. He will glorify himself. He's trustworthy. Will you trust him? You see, we have this great advantage. We can look back at this story some 2,000 years later and say, Jesus, it's going to be okay. I mean, I know it's Thursday night, and you're so pressed that you're sweating drops of blood just considering what tomorrow's, but it's going to be okay. The Father's going to provide. He's developing you. You're going to be the perfect Savior. It will kill you on Friday, but on Sunday you'll be alive. 2,000 years later, we're going to be singing your praises. You'll still be alive. You'll be the King on the throne. It works out. We have that. But what do we have in our trouble? I want you to know Jesus is saying, I'm telling you, I can see it from the other side that this pressing time is going to be okay because God will provide for you. He's developing you in this. He is going to work all of this for good. He is going to receive glory. You can trust him. Though you and I are sitting here going, no, it's pressing. I'm being crushed on all sides. Jesus says, let me tell you from experience, God works all of this for good. And so because he will, what does that mean for us? Let me give you a couple thoughts. I will. How will I respond today? I will acknowledge my pressing times. I'll just acknowledge that there are difficulties in my life. I won't run from them. I won't medicate them. I won't try to numb them. I won't show up at church and say, how's everything? Fine, good. That at times I'll say, I'm struggling. There's pressure on so many sides. I didn't want to be here today. I don't want to be alive today. Just acknowledge it. Acknowledge your pressing times. Tell someone. Tell a brother or sister. You don't have to fake it around here. Tell them. And tell God. He knows it. He's allowed it. In some cases, he's orchestrated it. Just acknowledge it to him. Don't run away, but run to pray. Because the reality is you can't do this on your own. Can't. It's like, man, somehow I'll do some kung fu and get out of this pressing situation. And no, you won't. And the reality is it may not turn out as you want. But this pressing time is not the end, is it? We see that for Jesus on this Thursday night. That's why I'm saying join us Friday night so we can see where this pressing time leads. But then join us Sunday morning, because if you don't join us Sunday morning, man, you're just lost in the sadness of the story. There's victory here. But I thought not only will I acknowledge my pressing times, I thought here's what I'm going to do and here's what I'm praying that all of you would do is that you would commit yourself again into the trusting hands, the trustworthy hands of God. That today you would commit yourself in the midst of your pressing times, that you would commit yourself to the trustworthy hands of God. Say, I can't do this on my own. He's like, good, I'm glad you got to that point. Trust me. Trust me. Commit your life to me. You see, some of you in this room I know have believed in Jesus Christ as your Savior. You've committed your life to him. But now commit your life to him in this pressing situation. Commit yourself to him this week in this pressing situation. Don't run from him. Run to him. Commit your life and say, here's what I got. I'm crushed. He says, I'm with you. I'll provide. Commit yourself to me. I'm just going to ask that we spend some time in prayer this morning, that you would bow your heads and pray. Considering your pressing times, considering your pressure-filled life, the situation you're going through right now. Just bow your head for a moment if you would, and if you could simply say, God, I commit my life into your hands. And he's not shocked if you say something like, is there another way out? Are you going to be with me? He's not shocked by that. But even as Jesus spent an hour agonizing, being pressed and crushed, he got to the point where he said, not my plan, but yours. I'm committing my hands again into your trustworthy hands. I'm committing all of my life into your trustworthy hands. Would you even pray that today? God, I commit my life into your trustworthy hands. You might be here and you don't know much about this Jesus, but I want you to know that he went to the cross for you. He went through this pressure-filled time for you, for the forgiveness of your sins, to show you his love for you. And today you can receive a gift he has for you. Simply say, Jesus, I commit my life to you. And he will enter in and tell you, yeah, it's difficult, it's brutal, but I'll provide and I'll grow you. And I will work all things for good. And though you may not get this, I'm doing this to tell a greater story. And I want to use even you, every single one of us. Let's just pray. Father, I'm grateful that you had this plan and this love for us, that it wasn't us trying to attain perfection, but you had your son go before us. And Jesus, I thank you for what you went through. I would have run away, but you took it on for me and for my brothers and sisters here, for humanity, to please the Father. And now we live in this pressure-filled life. You know all about it. And I would want relief for me and for all of us, just take us out of this. But no, you want us to experience the pressure, that we would trust you, that we would run to you. So help us, give us the faith to run to you. I just know some of the issues in this room, and there's great pressure. And I thank you that you are using that to grow us. I thank you that Thursday night wasn't the end, and that it actually got worse. And Friday, as bad as that wasn't the end. Lonely Saturday, that wasn't the end. But there's life. There's victory from you. And I ask that you help my brothers and sisters to believe that. That life is coming. Resurrection is coming. That hope is coming. God, that our hope would be anchored in you and your victory, even in the midst of our pressure. So thank you for this time this morning. Thank you for speaking to our hearts. Thank you for this coming week and what it means to us. And we pray all this in Jesus' powerful, mighty, saving name. Amen. You sing this with me.